Father, we thank you because you've been blessing us and you will continue to bless us. We ask that, Lord, help us until Christ be formed in us in the name of Jesus. Let all the things we have learned be ingrained in us until we reach the perfection you want in Jesus' name. Take thy glory and blessings forever. In Jesus' name we pray. So I know that again I'm the one standing between you and your lunch. Is that? But this is good because I'm going to be speaking to your spirit. The spirit is stronger when the flesh is weak, and so we're going to talk about work ethics for church workers, and already a lot has been done, and so I'll try to be quick. So let's go to the next. So by way of introduction, let me be going here so that we can synchronize. You just follow me and we synchronize. You know, you know, the theme is co-heirs, stewards together in Christ. And it's a good foundation for the year. You remember to have a retreat is a good foundation. John the Baptist did, Jesus did, Paul did. You know, our God loves progress. God, he loves progress. He loves growth. He loves profit. He loves gain. He loves that you move forward. So we must see his assignment to us as business. And so we must have a business mindset if we are workers. This is very important. You know, this lifestyle that we used to live, that you just wake up and wear trousers, and you do not think that what you are going to do is very, very important, is something we must work hard to stop. As a business, normally your bottom line is money. How much money do we make? And I know that church business also is interested in money. So that I'm told that if you are a pastor in some denominations and people lobby to be sent where there is more money, isn't it? Because those churches take money as the bottom line. But as God's business, our bottom lines are souls. How many souls did we win? I changed lives. When people are saying that this pastor, he's succeeding. Can't you see he has a Jeep? And he has a house in a big place. He has a jet. He has a university. I wish that the pastors will say, I changed the life of a drunkard to someone who is not a drunkard. Life of a criminal to someone who is not a criminal. The bottom line in God's business is fruitful Christians living holy lives. The bottom line is good testimonies that glorify him. The bottom line is Christians that do kingdom expansion activities. When a pastor is able to, or a church is able to grow those kind of people, like our pastor was saying that, the first speaker was saying that he likes to grow leaders, you know, who will think of doing kingdom expansion activities, you know, dominion in the environment you are. You enter this place, they say there are a lot of wizards, or there is a lot of wickedness in that team. If you join the team, you begin to do like them. You take dominion that is not going to be like that. Those are the bottom lines of God's business. And as God's workers, you are supposed to produce something for the honor of this company. I know I'm not trying to go worldly to explain to us what we should do, but I'm trying to make us have that mindset of productivity. And I think that's best. So, we're talking about ethics for co-workers. You know, in ethics, a group of people come together and decide, this is how we're going to live our lives. This is how we're going to conduct ourselves. And so, I will still do what Deputy Chaplain has done. Try, as I'm speaking, to have one or two things that we can put as ethics for co-workers in a godly, in a Bible church. At the end of my talk, we will now list them. So that we will be the one to write this ethics we are talking about. Ethics is code of conduct that guides and regulates church stewardship. If we say church ethics, is what regulates your stewardship. So, we already have the scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the church constitution. This provides that, all that we need. But we need to, all these need to be filtered to a small outline for ease of use. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, everything we do should be decently and in order. It should be decent and in order. If you want to find orderliness, it should be in Christianity. You know why they say residency? It's because you should be there. You know why they say regimental in military? You are in regiment. You obey certain things. It is much more in Christianity. So everything must, if you see anywhere things are not done orderly, God is not happy. Actually, if you go deeper, why is it that when there is a place that stinks, that's why devils like? Isn't it? Dirty places, devil likes it. A place that stinks, they like it. But for God, he likes neat places. He likes orderliness. He likes decency. In James, the Bible said, if you do what you know is not right, it is sin. Whether it's written in the Bible or not. And I've told us here before that the first rule in my secondary school was a breach of common sense or good manners is a breach of college rules. So if we want to do ethics, it will mean everything for the believer. What is ethics going to contribute to us? It will strengthen our spiritual value chain. It will strengthen our spiritual value chain. Look, when you are talking about agricultural value chain, there are those who have land, there are those who can cultivate, there are those who have seed, there are those who have fertilizer, there are those who can wet water the place, there are those who can weed, there are weedicides, pesticides, and there are harvesters. There are those who sell bags for bagging, and there are, so when you talk about value chain of agriculture, it's a long thing. Same thing here with spiritual things. So if we are ethical in the way we do, it will strengthen our spiritual value chain. Thank God for the things we are already learning. It will improve and make us a relevant church. You know, we'll be found by the person who appointed us, and that's very important. I hope you are not thinking that you were voted in the position you were. I hope you are not thinking that you were elected or pushed there by pastor. I hope you know that God is the one that gave you that responsibility. I hope also you know that in church business, competition is increasing. If you are not good here, it will not take 2 minutes to enter another church from this place. We are not saying that if you go to another church, is something wrong. But let it not be that because we are not meeting up, that's why somebody decides to go to another church. We are not providing the person enough food, enough nutrition spiritually that he needs. So as a guide, the purpose of ethics is to guide us so that finally, we will hear this word that every Christian will be looking for. Well done, you good and faithful servants. Enter ye into my rest. That's the final thing that we are all looking for. Final. You know, in all these things that we have mentioned, that we say this is final, did you hear aeroplane inside or big house? No. So, since I've mentioned value chain, let's use some of these terminologies that is used in the world sense to explain what we want to explain. Value is quality that renders something desirable. Is your stewardship valuable? And where you are doing stewardship, are you adding value? Value is an ideal accepted by some individuals or group. It may be the ideal we accepted. And that is why you can say that this computer is 600,000 and somebody will remove 600,000 and pay for it. Value is a degree of priority you give to something. That means you place value on that thing. So that it is good to explain that, because I will also explain spiritual value chain. I think it will be easy for us to understand now. So all activities involved in the development, delivery, and management of spiritual services or activities is the value chain. And that will include things like Sunday service. It's the value chain in our spiritual activity and in the work that God has given us. How do we make sure there is value in that Sunday service as a worker? The Bible study. How do we make sure we add value? That every member of the church will study and not be ashamed. Be a workman ready to do God's work all the time. And he's not tossed about. He will understand. He can answer. He said, be ready to answer whoever asks you of what you are convicted about. Have we brought every member to that level? What about fellowship? Does the fellowship we have add value? What about evangelism, prayer meeting, welfare to members and others, workers' meetings and the rest? Those form part of the spiritual value chain. And each part of that value chain must be qualitative. So if you have good ethics, it means good work ethics in this vineyard of ours, then we know that each of these things can be made qualitative. Now, value and quality, they converge. They are convergent concepts. You know, for you to get value, there must be quality. I changed this from the worldly value chain primary activities. One is church management. I don't have time to go deeper. But church management, from whoever is the top of the management, to you in your small department, you are also a manager there. You know, a manager does not necessarily mean someone that is heading people. You are in charge of something, you are managing it. And even if you are below some people, there is this 360 degree management. Has somebody read that? 360 degree management. You learn to manage the people above. You learn to manage the people you are working with. You learn to manage the people below. I think I gave us this example one day. I left a post. Somebody entered. And then the person called me, that, how do you deal with this very difficult man? And I said, what do you mean? What do you want? He said, anything you take to him, he will refuse. I said, okay. So what do you want now in today? That she has 3, 1, 2, 3. Which one do you want best? That she wants A, best. Then give him, tell him that A, B, C are the options. And that you want B and C better than A. He will pick A. He said, what if he doesn't? He said, you will pick A. Then she went and said, okay, I have A, B, and C, but I think B is the best, followed by C. This A, I don't like it because of... So I think, sir, I'm suggesting we use option B. And as you are saying it, you'll be smiling. So he did the same thing and then picked A. Then she came and called me, how did you know? I said, I work with him now. I've learned how to manage it. So she began to use that formula. So even if you are below somebody, you are a manager. So church management is part of spiritual value chain. You have to manage. Thank God we are taught about emotional intelligence. You know, all the other kinds of intelligence, you need them too. But thank God we are taught about emotional intelligence. The weekly spiritual services are primary activities. Care for each and individual member. I, you know, the Puritans, and I remember Riley. He doesn't want his church to be too big. If it's big, he will divide it. He has time in the year that he must visit you personally, talk, understand all your troubles, have a Bible study wrong with you, and have a long, several hours of prayer with you as a family or as an individual. Then tomorrow, he will go to another family. So he says that he doesn't believe people should have a very huge church because you can't handle it. You can't care for each one like that. Even though today's church, they know how to segment it to make it easier. So, also evangelism, missions, and outreach, they are primary activities. And because we have found ourselves here, patient services. Go and pray. Pray for patients. Pray. Don't be afraid that you have not seen your prayer answered before for healing. Just pray. It brings healing. It brings confidence in them. But it certainly deals with the devil in the lives of that patient. And the patients are there. You know? So make sure that these primary services, which form our spiritual value chain, are attended to. There are supportive spiritual value chain. One is procurement. There must be a decision. Let's buy something. The quality and the way you go about the buying makes sense. I'm sure I've shared here also. A brother wanted to share to sell his boss. And it appears that those from his tribe who wanted us to buy the boss, and those who are not, did not want the boss to be bought. And me, I was in the middle. So I told them that, no, decision making is easy. Decision making is not difficult. Do we need a boss? Yes. When women go for visitation or people travel for burial or something, this boss breaks down, the one we have. So we need a boss. Second question, the kind of boss, do we need an old boss? Everybody said, no, we can buy a new boss. We have the money. So that settled the situation. But if the answer was that we need a boss, we need an old boss like his own, then the next question is, what type of boss do we need? Is it his type? If it is, then we say, who are those who know about cars here? Go and look at this brother's boss. Should we buy it? Isn't it? And then they will now say it is good. Then we go and buy. The price he's giving us, is that proper? He says it's good. Then we buy. But thank God we took decision from the second. Do we need a boss? Yes. Second question, do we need an old or new boss? We needed a new boss. So not talk again. You see? So the point of procurement is very important. It is a supportive activity in our spiritual value chain. The next one is technological development. Okay? You can see how technology is helping us to learn. You can see how it's helping us to learn. We don't have, we see what we have. We hear it. And we can record and keep. We can decide to develop our technology in such a way. I'm sure you have WhatsApp, this thing, that something happens, prayer alert. Sister so-so-so, her mother is sick, she's brought to the hospital, please pray. Everybody starts firing prayer from that moment. You can see how technology can help us, and that can improve our spiritual value chain. The other one is human resource management. Those who are on paid work in the church and those who are not paid, all those who are using their energy to serve the church, how are they being managed? How do you take care of them? When I was driving here, I saw on the WhatsApp forum, and I don't like to talk on WhatsApp forum. I saw on the WhatsApp forum, even though I will learn to talk on WhatsApp forum now. Reason is, you know the American embassy. If you go to look for visa, they will go and check your Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, whatever, to see whether you are someone who is anti-American, you are someone who likes abusing children, you are somebody who believes in terrorism, then they will not give you. On the other hand, when they check all those things and don't find you like me, they also not give you. They say you're a dangerous man. You're hiding something. You're hiding something. So, but I think I'm going to enter social media very soon. But I think it's because I want to be explaining obstetrics and gynecological concepts in simple terms to women. Because the wrong people are taking charge, and I think it's wrong. But also, so that when America looks for me on social media, they will find me. But for good reasons, not for bad reasons. Then, firm infrastructure. How is our church? Is this something that is good? Well, we'll come to that. Are we complying regulation-wise? What about our finance and accounting? Do we keep records? These are spiritual values, chains, and supportive activities. What about the legal affairs? Are we acting anywhere outside the legal framework? What about our public and stakeholder relations? Do we relate well? Do we represent the master for whom we work well? Where you work, where I work, and as a corporate body, are we representing others? I know that when people are young, fire is in them. When we were in university, on the day that there will be chicken, hey, I'm sure some of you don't understand what I'm talking about, right? They will divide chicken into four. And then you pay 50 kobo. And then you buy tickets. So the days of chicken, the queue is so long. And that's the reason why I don't take Coke now. Because as a medical student, I don't have time for 400, 500 people in a queue to waste my time. So I'll go and buy meat pie and Coke. And I'll go and eat. By 4:30, when I come back from class, I'm so hungry that I'll even soak Gary. Because I ate only meat pie. You understand? So, but in those days, that blood was hot. Members of the fellowship will come and stand at the queue because some people will come and shunt. If you shunt, they will drag you out. They're on the street. But I don't think we should use force like that. You know? But there are times that it's necessary. We want to do fellowship. We will find some people have put tennis or badminton something in the big hall and are playing badminton. We tell them, this is the time for video reviews. Who will evacuate them? Yes, because they refuse. We will give them warning. They refuse. We will carry away the badminton something. And if they are struggling, we will carry them out also. We evacuate them. I think that is, sometimes that is a better Christianity than what you guys are, you know. Because if the authority comes to ask, they'll say, but why are you doing that? You know that it is their time for fellowship. Why? You know? So it is important. These are our supporting things in our value chain. We are talking about ethics. So I'm going for customer satisfaction. By customer, I mean member. And don't see member as someone that you are going to make money. Remember our bottom line that we mentioned in the first slides. Okay? So we need our customers to be satisfied with the services that we are given. Customer satisfaction is a measure of how content members are with our services that they receive. If they are not contented, they are going to leave to another church. They are going to leave. If the patients don't find help from us, they will ask for another pastor to come from outside or other people to come from outside and pray for them. Okay? And you know the thing about sickness is only, I think, Jehovah's Witnesses that will tell you not to pray for them. But the Muslims will accept. The idol worshippers will accept. The Christians will accept. But Jehovah's Witnesses, they will not agree. And the simple reason is that you are going to end the prayer by saying, in Jesus' name. So I told one Jehovah's Witness that I'm also Jehovah's Witness. She says it's a lie. I said, but I witnessed for Jehovah. So therefore, what am I? I'm a Jehovah's Witness too. So, customer satisfaction, how a Christian feels satisfied coming to take our services. You know, it's influenced by factors like, he mentioned communication. Communication. How do we communicate? Is it in a way that they love so much? Do we empathize at all? Do we give them access to ourselves? There was a time in one church, I told him, am I the only doctor? Why is it that everybody is coming to me? Then they told me that the other ones, you can't approach them all. That's why you are the one we are disturbing. When services finish and they pick their Bible and put their face straight like a flint, Who are you to decide to say, sir, I have stomach pain, and they don't. So I end up sometimes having six people before I go home. You know? So it is, allow access to yourself from the members at any time. At any time of the night, any time of the day. Do you personalize things? Bring it to their level and ask them what trouble they have personally. What is the quality of the spiritual activities that you have? Is it a waste of time? Do they think it's a waste of time? And what is their overall experience? All these things influence dissatisfaction of members. I'm praying that God will help you understand so that you are not looking at me teaching customer satisfaction from the worldly side. I'm just bringing the concepts to make us understand the work that God has given us. How do we give value to our members that God has blessed us to serve? Okay? And then, customer satisfaction improves spiritual outcomes. It improves spiritual outcomes. If they're satisfied, let me start with the one that you won't like. If they are very satisfied, they can give offering and tithe more. Nigerian church, we know how to give, isn't it? We know how to give more than a lot of people. If we are satisfied, we give. I think I told you this story. I went to US one day, and in church, I wanted to give $200. But when I saw the offering bag, it's $1, $2, $1, $2, $1. So I reduced it to $20. And even when I put it on the offering bag, everybody was looking back, who is the person who put this offering bag? I later knew that if I put $150, they will actually look for me and give me a receipt and ask me, what do I want them to use it for? Because they will have to report to government, that kind of thing. You know? But this one is the most secular aspect of when members of the church are satisfied. When members of the church are satisfied, the Bible says one can chase 1,000. Two is geometric, can chase 10,000. If you call for a fast and the whole church is satisfied, that means maybe 200 people will fast. If they are not satisfied, it may be 5 people will fast, 20 people will appear for prayers. After all, the stomach is not transparent, so you won't understand. So you can see how it will improve spiritual life. If they are satisfied and happy and you say fast, everybody is going to fast. It will improve spiritual life. If you say, let's pray for this brother, everybody will halt and pray. Will halt his activities and pray. Why? Because he has member satisfaction. I put them together so that you will not confuse. Just, it's not the customer in hospital or whatever. You know, it improves member loyalty. They will always come here. When you say night vigil, they'll come. When you say outreach, they'll come. They'll be loyal. When you say let's reach out to the poor, they will reach. They'll be loyal. It gives positive reputation in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of the devil. Because when you have firebrand Christians, you get positive reputation. Even the workers themselves, their morale will be boosted because they are satisfied. It also comes about from perceived quality, perceived value, and member expectations and the image of the church. Thank God, he said that when expectations are not met, an angel can be changed into a devil, isn't it? When people don't have expectations met, it is terrible. It is terrible. But expectations will be met. You will pray people will get healed. You will pray people will get a job. You will pray they will go for an interview and win if it is the will of God. So expectations will be met. Okay? So satisfaction is a direct consequence of perceived value. And I think that statement he made is a very complete something. But so let me not waste time on this. So there are 5 things that determine satisfaction. One is reliability. Is this church Can I rely on this church? Can I trust them? When I bring my problems, can I rely on them? Reliability may even be that they say they meet by 1 o'clock. If I call 1, are they starting? Can I rely on them? They say the fellowship in the afternoon is 1 to 2, 1 hour only. Can I rely on them? That this is my 1 hour break, I'll use it. They will not drag me to 1:30. That is reliability. You know, the things you said, how true they are they? Can it be found? Responsiveness. If I have a problem, do members of the church, do workers in the church take cognizance of it? Do they help? Do they respond to me? That adds to their satisfaction and they are willing to remain put and be with you in this journey. The same with empathy. Does anybody care? The same is assurance. Can I take their words to the bank? Can I believe them? The others are tangibles. Now, tangibles are the physicals. When you come here, does the ambience make you happy? Does the music make you happy? Does the audiovisuals, do they make you happy? Those are tangibles. Are there seats? When I sit on them and I'm big, will I fall? Those are tangibles. Are they clean or the place remains dirty all the time? Those are tangibles. And you know, with humans, whether they are spiritual or not, tangibles are respected by human beings, whether you like it or not. You know, I was preaching on at one wedding. I was advising the brother first. I told him, hey, look, this is a woman. God created her with materialistic tendencies. So, lollipop, ice cream, shawarma, and gold must not cease. Whether you like it or not, whether she jumps, she prays like whatever, you know? Whether she prays like whatever, they must not cease. When they cease, you'll be in trouble. They like the best rappers, the best everything, the best car, the best... Yes! Is that the way God created them? Those are tangibles. So, even though they are the most spiritual ones, if the tangibles are not good, I know why people do not come to church because that they don't, their music are not good. I know some people go to some church and say, the choir, when you hear it, you are raptured. But when you come to church, and let me say the one that will hit you guys well, and you want to wee-wee, and there is no very neat place. Is there a neat place to wee-wee? Aha, thank God. Because I know that this is not your own building, our own building. So we may not make it the way we want. Tomorrow, the person may not come. Why? Because he may be diabetic. And he has to be going out, or he has prostate. Maybe going out from time to time. And then he won't see a nice place. He say, no, I don't like it. Because if you go, you know the way it is. So, tangibles are important. As a matter of fact, some people have a dress code for their workers. That is why some churches have dress code for their workers. You must appear neat. Some say you must wear a suit. You know, they have dress. In fact, I say some. I think it's most. Yes, I think it's most. Because I nearly caused trouble in one church where I went to worship. They now say there should be a worker. I say, no, leave me alone. They insisted. Now, I wear a suit on weekdays. So I don't like to wear a suit on weekends. It's when I can wear my jumper now. But I didn't know that it's against their laws, you know. And my own reason is just simple. So tangibles are important. Again, how reliable are you? How can they trust you? How responsive, if they have an issue, how do you run for it to help them? How empathetic are you to their programs? How do you assure them that what you want, and how are your tangibles? And you know, let me tell you something. When they say in WhatsApp forum, so, let's pray for so, he has this, so that the Lord will heal him, they will just answer you, amen, in that WhatsApp forum. They won't take 5 to 10 minutes to pray. Most Christians, am I saying the truth? Who is guilty of that? Please. When they send a prayer alert, take time to pray. It's because we refuse to understand the spiritual implications of our prayer, the power of our prayer over whatever is happening in this world. That is why we think it's nothing. And then we just read, so that God will heal him. I just said that somebody will just write, he is healed in Jesus' name. Everybody will just be putting amen, amen, amen. That's not what we are saying. It's a prayer alert. Stop what you are doing. Park your car. Leave the people you are with. Enter one cubicle and pray. Please. Please. So, these are the things that make members to be satisfied. And God wants this kind of thing. That you are that. But there is a standard given for us since we are humans. Somebody said when God created man, he had a template. And the template is himself. And because we may say it's impossible to be like God, he sent Jesus Christ in the flesh. So we have a flesh template like us. He said you should be an example to others in speech. Thank God he has mentioned the tonality, the harshness or lack of it, of our speech. The conduct, our conduct, our love of faith, our purity, our love, our faith and our purity, sorry. Faith is supposed to stand alone and love is supposed to stand alone. And our purity, these are standards. And when they say it should be an example, it means you should be above board. You should be better than the average person in the congregation in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Love is stepping out to do something. It's an action word. It's not something you just say. I don't know. How many of us have shown love to somebody in the last 2 days, for instance? You have. Few of us. Please, it is something, and love breaks every barrier. Love encourages if you do. But all these things, you should be standard. I just want to mention diligence. Because you are managing, you are ruling, in your small department, or in the small responsibility you are given, the biblical rule for those who rule is diligence. That is it. Rule with diligence. Diligence is being serious. It's taking it serious. If it is A, B, C, D, you do not start with D and continue. You start with A. Make sure you complete it. You do it properly. That is diligence. The other one is faithfulness. That it is expected in stewards like you and me that a man should be found faithful. Faithful means, pastor says you should do this, he can turn his back and be very, 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 very sure you are going to do it. Faithfulness means God can trust you to do that. It is expected in stewards. And this faithfulness also includes your faithfulness of the resources that God placed in your hand. Money, time, skill, everything. Everything. Thank God. I'll soon close. Thank God he has mentioned teamwork. When we are stewards together and laborers together, we should do teamwork. In teamwork, there should be no striving. There should be no competition. We should have one goal and one mind. We should pray for the weaknesses of one another. We obey the line of command and so on. Now, when Jesus told Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than this? He said, you know I love you. He said it 3 times. Peter said, Habba, okay? You know I love you now. He said, feed my sheep. And then he said, what about John? See, even though we are doing teamwork, do your bit. Do not start asking God that you say I should. Why are they saying that I should do this? What about him? What about her? Do your own. Don't do like Peter. What about John? Jesus told him that. What's your problem? If I decide that he's going to leave till I come back, that is my decision. In teamwork, be careful to do your own part and obey all the rules in teamwork. Don't be asking that, what about this person? Before God, God doesn't like that kind of thing. He's dealing with you as individual and with all of us as a team. He expects, because as a team, I have responsibility to God individually. And we have responsibility to God corporately. I have responsibility to my brother individually. I have responsibility to the whole team corporately. We have responsibility to the whole church. To the whole church. So, this is an introduction to ethics when it comes to Christianity. Now, who will be our scribe? Will you write, sir? We are now going to write our ethics in the next 5 minutes or so. So, what do you think should be the ethical principles of a Bible-believing church like ours? Let's write them down. Just raise your hand and say now. Because I said from the beginning that you should begin to tell me. Because we are going to solve the problem together. My own is to just explain and espouse at the beginning. Yes? Yes, yes, sir. Just say. Raise your hands and say. Loud, please. Empathy.
Punctuality.
Punctuality. Okay? How do we put it in a good word? So workers are expected to be punctual as much as possible. Oh, isn't it? Lack of punctuality is terrible. You know, let me give you an example of those who come late to church. This man has come early. He has sat here. And he gets up to pray. And like Pastor was telling us, me, I like closing my eyes so I can be off. And you are off, and then they will come and tap you to move. So that late comer can pass to his seat. Is that fair? That's very unfair. This lateness is just not good. It obstructs somebody's spiritual flow. This is just one example that I'm giving. Okay, what else? Let's just mention them. It will be a book, a big booklet.
Faithfulness.
Godly love.
What?
Godly love for one another.
Godly love for one another. Please, make love very intentional. Make it very intentional. So, workers are expected to show godly love, to show love to one another. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. Keeping to time. This one, she's talking to all of us. We should walk towards keeping to time. Because there are times that the customers are angry because they stay too long, isn't it?
Yes.
And that is because they gave me to pray and I'll use all the time. They gave me 45 minutes to preach and I'll use 2 hours. So please, workers are expected to as much as possible keep to time. It's not that the Holy Spirit cannot move us one day to stay much longer. You know? And to know that they say the spirit of the prophet is within his control. Why has not Holy Spirit decided that if we are supposed to close by 11:30, we should close 10:30 any day? Okay? So please, if you are given something to do, do. Just do at that time. Practice, if you want to practice, practice in your house to keep to that time. What again? So, you know what we're going to do? We listen to 2 more. Everybody should remove a paper and write, and we will collect all of them. It will form the basis of writing the ethics for church workers. And that may find its way in the constitution, since we are going to, you understand? So that we say church workers are expected to do this. Yes.
Stop browsing during service.
What?
Stop browsing during service. Some people browse.
Yes, yes. Just because, like when he was teaching, some scriptures came to my mind and I opened because my phone gives me that. But there are people who, they are in the church and they are listening to NSPPD. Some people are listening to dunamis, and they are inside the church. I'm serious. Some, very bad. They are looking at something as bad as pornography. Right inside the church. See, there are people who are like Judas. All the 100% opportunity was given to them to make heaven. They don't want. If you reach that realm, may God have mercy on you. That even inside church, you will do those things. God have mercy on you. Because certain things, there is hardly any mercy. Because what else? What else do you want? We brought you to church. We are shouting, and you're looking at pornography or some Korean film or so. So please write in a paper all the ones you think you have, and we'll collect it. It will form a basis for what we are doing. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you and bless you because you have shown kindness to us to bring us to walk in your vineyard. Father, we are presenting ourselves to you that you have mercy on us. And Lord, we will walk according to your tenets. That Lord, we will achieve those things. That lives will be changed. Souls will come to you. Kingdom activities will happen. The devil's kingdom will be shaken. People will get well. People's stories will change for good. And your glory will fill the earth as waters that cover the sea. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we do